Good morning. It's good to see you in church from so many different places on such a lovely day. If we could have planned the weather, we might have even been tempted to have the service outside, and that would have been interesting. Would you like to take us through some intimations, George?
Anyway, good morning, everybody. A few housekeeping things before we begin. In the event of a fire, you will hear a very loud fire alarm. Now, unlike aeroplanes, there are no lights in the floor. You have to dash to either doors, following Norman and myself as we go out our respective doors. So are we quite clear what happens if there's a fire? Now, there are toilet facilities in the vestibule area as well. Now, for the people who are coming towards the lectern, to use the lectern during the service, please be aware there are cables lying on the steps as you come up, just in case you trip and fall forward and everybody starts laughing. Anyway, sorry, that's the housekeeping bit. Have I forgotten anything? Oh, yes, I'll come back to that in a minute. I'm supposed to now stand and read out the intimations. So bear with me, I've just learned the reading bit. Welcome. All are welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a visitor from our neighbouring congregations, or a newcomer or visitor to the village. Please stay for refreshments afterwards if you can. I've already given the safety matter greeting. Catch, that's kids at church, Catch are with us today, and we'll be in church for part of the service. Catch will also run on the 23rd of June, when the end of the session prize giving will take place. Kearney Hill Gala, chocolate appeal. Gala week starts today with a barbecue in the man's garden this afternoon. Gala day itself is next Saturday the 8th of June. The church will have a stall at the gala as usual. Donations of chocolate for the chocolate dip could still be deposited in the box in the vestibule today. Now we come to the orphanage appeal. I'd like to ask Sandy Muirhead to come up. Where are you, Sandy? Oh, well, good. I'll stand back now at the road.
Hello, good to see so many of you here today. Some of you will have received one of these if you were an early comer, some later might not. But it's been intimated in the churches over the last few weeks. I'm just taking a couple of minutes to push this again on behalf of the mission team. Now, the mission team are the mission team for all of you, for all the churches. We've been meeting since August. We've come up with a number of ideas. This is one involving foreign mission. But we have ideas which we'll be bringing to you over the next few weeks or months regarding local mission. And that's quite exciting too. This is not tonight at 7 p.m. in Oakleigh. There's a presentation, PowerPoint presentation. The mission team are presenting this to explain more about this orphanage appeal. Kuna Temeni is an orphanage in Democratic Republic of Congo. So we'll be explaining more later. I don't want to say very much. I'm urging everyone to come along. It's your mission. It's part of your church. What I will say is you don't have to bring any money. If you want to bring money, you can. But it's not an appeal for money tonight. It's an appeal for help with helping the mission team to support this orphanage. And you'll hear more about it tonight. I think that's all I need to say just now. Thank you.
Our church walking group. The next church walk takes place on Sunday the 9th of June. We'll be visiting Lochore Meadows with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the Kearney Hill Church car park at 2 o'clock and everybody's more than welcome. Holy Communion. We'll celebrate communion on Sunday the 6th of June. 16th of June. I was just testing everybody. You all passed the test. Church newsletter. We plan to issue a late summer newsletter to the parish towards the end of August. Please think about making a contribution to this. Anything that might be of interest to our readers. The deadline for receipt of the content is the 11th of August. Email to derek@kearneyhillchurch.org.uk. One final intimation that's not on the screen, and that is Carnock and Oakleigh have very kindly donated plants from their plant sale, that remain from their plant sale, and they're outside the west door of the church. And what we're thinking of doing is selling them, please, or buying them, yes. And money that's raised will be donated towards the orphanage appeal. So that's the extra intimation. So other intimations, there are further intimations in the printed sheet, and these can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And now, for those in Zoom, here's a quick look at the order of service. I was to say to everybody, if I got this right, that the printed one is incorrect, it should read 189 for the very first hymn, and it reads 198, so the printed version is wrong. Okay, and that completes my intimations for this morning. Thank you.
I was going to suggest that the minister down in Limekilns is so much better, but he's also at numerical dyslexia and sometimes gets the numbers the wrong way round. It's really good to see you all in worship today. We're going to begin by singing not 198, but 189, which is Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Our offering. Almighty God, as we gather in your presence and receive so much from you, we present our offering to be used in the work of your church, revealing our love for you and our desire to serve you. In Jesus' name, Amen. I think I'm going to have to stay up here. I don't think there's any room for me to move around the platform very much. But I've got a question. Have you got a favourite game? No? Have you got a favourite? Anybody got a favourite game? Have you gone shy? Frustration. Is that your favourite game as well? There might be frustrated parents, I'm not sure. Yes?
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Right. Are you good at it? No? Anybody else got a favourite game? Scrabble. Yes, I know there's a... We tend to refer to people who like Scrabble as the Scrabble Rabble. Not heard that one. Right? I know Carmen likes Scrabble as well. Anybody got games that they like to watch? What do you like to watch? You like to watch rugby. Right? That's a good thing to watch. Tennis? Cricket? Now, you see, I have never got cricket, and I said that once to my mother-in-law, who fixed me with a steely gaze and said, "Do you know that cricket is like chess? It's the movement of peace, you know, around this big..." Anyway, I still don't get it. If you were doing a puzzle, who would prefer Sudoku and the other one is crossword? So if you prefer a Sudoku, hands up. If you prefer a crossword, hands up. Keep your hands up if you think it's really good to do cryptic crosswords. Right, my mother assured me that you had to have a twisted mind to do that. That works, does it, Andrew? Anybody else from Carrick and Oakley think Andrew's got a twisted mind? What do you need to know if you're going to play a new game or do a new puzzle? The rules. The instructions. There are lots and lots of places that have rules, not just in games and that we play or games that we watch. Anybody got any rules in their house? No. I find that hard to believe. Have you got rules in your house? Yeah. I've even got rules in my house. Right. What rule do you really not like? There's lots of hands up. Okay, which rules?
No dogs upstairs.
No dogs upstairs? Yeah?
No slime.
No slime? No slime? Oh, that's that. Yeah. I can understand that one. Yes.
No eating in your room.
No eating in your room.
No eating in your room. Right. Now that's a good one. Because I'm sure in one room in my house, some time ago, I moved some stuff and what was underneath was not pleasant at all. And I had words with one of my children. One of the rules I really didn't like when I was young was no pudding until you've eaten your vegetables. Does that rule still apply?
Yes.
No. Is this wishful thinking? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to ask another question, and we took it out. In churches, there used to be a stool for people who had not done what they should. And Carol's not sitting on it. Who's broken a rule? Who's willing to tell us the rule that they've broken? Right, which rule have you broken?
I stuck slime to my carpet.
You stuck slime to your carpet. I think that's definitely one for the school of repentance, yeah?
I brought my dog upstairs.
You took your dog upstairs. I was usually instructed by my mum that I could have one biscuit And sometimes my counting went off. Our Bible reading today is about Jesus breaking rules. And the important people, the people who knew the rules and knew them inside out, said, "You should not be doing this." And Jesus said that it was okay. And it was one of the really important rules. It was, have you heard of the Ten Commandments? Probably the most important set of rules in the Old Testament. And lots of countries, including our country, actually, our laws go right back to the Ten Commandments. And this is the fourth one. And Jesus and his friends were doing something they shouldn't do on what was called the Sabbath. Now, we would call Sabbath Sunday, but they would have called Sabbath Saturday. But he was doing things he shouldn't do because you weren't meant to work. And he was doing things that looked like work. And the people were worried that if you broke the rules, God would really come down on you and be fierce. And there were so many laws to help you because you really didn't want to be on God's wrong side. And Jesus said, it's the other way round. You've got it wrong. The rules aren't so you can be punished. The rules are a gift from God. And actually, when you grow up, you suddenly discover that some of your parents' rules that you didn't like were really good for you. I had to discover that. And Jesus wanted to know that God didn't give rules because he wanted to punish, but because he loved us. And that's really good for us to remember, that lots of the rules are there because people love and care and want us to be able to live together. And there's something to celebrate. And that's why I chose Come On and Celebrate. So we're going to sing, this one's from Mission Praise, and the words will come up on screen. It's not a long song, and I'm sure many of you will have sung it before. Some rules that can be regarded as creation rules. And I thought we might hear something about creation and what would happen if there was a committee. Alistair.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. We now come to the business section of our service this morning. And we've just one report. It's a report from the Creation Committee. Now, I should point out that any similarities to other church committees, either living or deceased, is purely coincidental. So to the report. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, so God created a committee. God carefully balanced the committee with regard to race, sex, ethnic origin and economic status in order to interface pluralism with the holistic concept of self-determination according to judicatory guidelines. Even God was impressed, and so ended the first day. And God said, let the committee draw up a mission statement. And behold, the committee decided to prioritize and strategize. And God called the process empowerment. And God thought it sounded pretty good. And evening and morning were the second day. And God said, let the committee determine goals and objectives and engage in long-range planning. Unfortunately, a debate as to the semantic difference between goals and objectives preempted almost all of the third day. Although the question was not satisfactorily resolved, God thought the process was constructive and team-building. And evening and morning were the third day. And God said, let the committee go on retreat to envision functional organisation. Let it plan objectively and specifically. The committee considered adjustment of priorities and consequential alternatives to mission programme directions. And God saw that it was good. God even thought it was worth all the coffee and donuts he had to provide. And so ended the fourth day. And God said, let the committee deadlines be implemented consistently with long-range planning and strategy. The committee considered linkages and structural sensitivities and alternatives and implementational models. And God saw that it was very consensus formational. And so it would have ended the fifth day, except for an unexpected renewal of the debate about the difference between goals and objectives. On the sixth day, the committee agreed on criteria for judicatory assessment and evaluation. This was not in the agenda God had planned, but God was not able to attend the meeting, having taken the afternoon off to create day and night, heaven and earth, the seas and the dry land, the plants and trees and seasons and years and sun and moon and birds and fish and animals and human beings. On the seventh day, God rested and the committee submitted its recommendations. It turned out that the recommended forms for things were nearly identical to the way God had already created. So the committee passed a resolution commending God for his implementation according to the guidelines. There was, however, some opinion expressed that man should have been created in the committee's image. And God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the committee. That concludes the report from the Creation Committee, and so to the deliverance. Oh, add some power, the gift to give us, to see ourselves as others see us. Moderator.
Alistair did ask if it was too cheeky to use, and I decided it possibly wasn't. Let's sing about the glories of creation and ask that question: who paints the skies into glorious day?
Now, but just a reminder for those who've come from our other congregations, different verses of the Lord's Prayer exist because committees got involved. But so just if you when you come to the Lord's Prayer, just remember we all start at the beginning, we always end at the end. So if you get a bit distracted, don't worry about it. But I believe and I hope that the words of the Lord's Prayer I'm going to share with you this morning are going to be on your screen. So with that, let's draw near to our living and creating God with our prayer. Loving God and our Heavenly Father, the gospel writers tell us that many will come from the east and from the west and from the north and the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And so we gather this morning from all the compass points in West Fife to sit down in your glorious kingdom. We come together, united in one faith, one Lord, one church. Lord Jesus Christ, you are beside us. You are before us. You are behind us. You are with us in all that we do, and so we bring our thanks to you. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, your love for us is unshakable, your mercy immeasurable, and your grace is available to all. And so we bring our thanks to you. For all we have comes from you. We give thanks for our families and our friends, and the fellowship we enjoy in the churches of West Fife. And as we bring our praise to you, we know that sometimes we can forget you are with us. We forget that we can turn to you at any time. We try to do things in our own strength and then wonder why it's so hard. So we ask you to forgive us, to remind us that you are always there. Father, so often we forget to reflect your love. Sometimes we say harsh words when we should have shown understanding. We leave deeds undone when we should be kind. So we ask you to forgive us and to remind us you are there. We know that in your love you forgive us, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us as we journey together in faith and to lead lives with you at the centre. For we ask all our prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we gather together to say these words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
And so to our reading for this morning. It's from Mark chapter 2, running into Mark chapter 3. And Alison is going to read for us.
So the reading this morning is Mark 2, verses 23 to 30, to chapter 3, 6. One called Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples walked along. They began to pick up some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was lawful only for the priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Now we go to chapter 3, and Jesus heals on the Sabbath. "Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn heart, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." Amen. God blessed us this reading from his holy word.
We sing now, "These are the days of Elijah."
These are the days of Elijah.
When we read about conflict, be it fact or fiction, we have a tendency to categorize people as good, bad, or perhaps neutral. We like to have heroes, heroines, and the opposition as the villains of the piece. As we read the Gospels, we know that Jesus is the hero of the story. His friends and supporters are on the side of good and right. And so we conclude that those who oppose Jesus and his followers are clearly the opposite and are choosing wrong. They are the baddies. The Pharisees and teachers of the law are often in opposition to Jesus and questioning his teaching and behavior. We can be guilty of categorizing the Pharisees as legalists and more interested in rules than in God. Jesus is critical of their attitudes and understanding. They are quick to challenge Jesus on his teaching and understanding. A number of theologians have pointed out that the reason for that constant clash between Jesus and the Pharisees is because they were trying to do the same thing. They were actually on the same side. And it was all about the kingdom of God. How do you live for God in the world? When I came across this, I've got to admit that I was at least surprised, if not shocked, because I had categorized Jesus and his friends on one side and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law on the other side. Our caricature of the Pharisee is of rigid adherence to the law and no room for any kind of pleasure other than the self-righteous pleasure of condemning others. We can easily turn to an understanding of this kind of individual as a hypocrite, outwardly self-righteous, but not living to that standard that they set for others. A very good example of this comes not from Israel, but from Scotland. Not from Judaism, but the Christian Church. A certain Scottish poet who somebody quoted earlier encapsulated this in Holy Willie's Prayer, which is probably my favourite of Burns' poetry. When I read the passage from Mark's Gospel, I'm reminded of a story about a young minister somewhere in the north and probably northwest of Scotland, maybe even an island. And this would have been some time ago. He was out walking on a Sunday afternoon, and this was noticed by the session clerk. It was pointed out that on the Sabbath, you didn't do these things. The young minister, with a knowledge of Scripture, said, but Jesus and his friends went walking on the Sabbath. And the response of the session clerk was, aye, and he should have kent better. We laugh because we know that rigid Sabbatarianism has very little to do with being true to God. It goes along with a kind of caricature of the Christian faith as against every pleasure in life. The rules are all about thou shalt not. To live for God is more about abstinence than about positive action. There is a saying that rules are for the obedience of fools and guidance of the wise. This is attributed to quite a number of folk, and I couldn't actually find a clear origin for the saying. Another saying, often made in jest, is that the most important of the Ten Commandments is the 11th, thou shalt not get caught. And we see an awful lot of this in our society. Much more than that is the excuse for doing wrong is I did not break the rules. No law was broken. And we may have heard that from the odd politician and such like. In our readings, we have Jesus condemned for breaking the Sabbath law as it had come to be defined. There were clear definitions of what was and what was not work. It was things like you could pick something up with one hand, but if you had to use two hands, that was work. And there were all sorts of other definitions, and there were a number of exemptions. So if you saw one of your animals in trouble, you could help, even though that was technically work, because it would be wrong to leave the animal suffering. Jesus' answer to the accusations are to do with the purpose of God's law. What Jesus says about the Sabbath law can be applied to all of God's law. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And of course, so Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of all the rules. Where we try to live by the letter of the law, there have to be many rules and regulations to define what is meant. Human nature is such that given a definition, we will try to find a way around that definition. I worked in a factory, and there were certain rules to do with safety on the shop floor. And those rules had to keep evolving because the competition was how the guys working on the shop floor could get round the rules to do what they knew they shouldn't do. And then when they got into trouble, usually because somebody got hurt, it was somebody else's fault. I didn't break the rules. It's that place where we can say we kept to the letter of the law. Jesus is accused of breaking the law. And by the letter of the law, Jesus was not a law keeper. But he made the law much harder. He went by the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law is about love. We are to love God and we are to love each other. No qualifications. And we know what love in terms of a biblical definition is. Jesus gave us plenty. Love your enemies. Love others as much as I love you. And if we want it a bit more detailed, you've got 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul unpacked all of that. Love is kind, love is. And there was all of that stuff there. The freedom we have in Christ is not freedom from the law, but freedom under the law. If the spirit of the law is love and care for each other. And then we are obliged to live in a way that serves the people around us. The materialism and individualism of our society tells us that what benefits and pleases us is right. I'm sure you'll have heard the statement or read the statement that we belong to a post-truth society. And what that means is that whatever you feel to be right, it's right. So every one of us is right, even though somebody else thinks that we're wrong. And there is no thing, there is no absolute that is truth. This is all about rights without responsibility. Our society has confused freedom with license. The license to do what you like is not freedom. As God's people, we are not bound by the letter of the law, but are free under the spirit of the law. And that means we've got to think and we've got to behave in a way that is in relationship with God, in step with the Spirit, using Jesus as our example, living to God's glory, not the letter of the law. And when we get it wrong, what was Jesus' answer to Peter about forgiveness? And if that was Jesus' answer, how much more does God do? And Jesus' answer about how often you forgive is either 77 times or 70 times 7. It's a number that you can't reach, in other words. It's become a pattern of life so that we can say sorry and we can say I forgive you and we can go forward in love. The law is not there to condemn, but to guide and to enable and to give us freedom. And so, we are under law, the law of love, the law that Jesus gave us, a new commandment to love, to be like he is, to be like God. And so we praise God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 500, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Going to lead us in our prayers for others.
Before we pray, I'm bringing apologies from Kouris and Torryburn this morning. Those of you who are or will be without a minister will know that if you're having a communion, you've got to have a minister. And if you can find one that's available in a day, you've just got to take it. especially if he's not available on the days surrounding it. So they're having their stated annual meeting and communion this morning. Let's pray. We begin our prayers of intercession this morning with a moment of silence, marveling at the mystery of our being able to call upon the name of our Father in heaven and the certainty that he will hear us when we do so, whilst at the same time collecting our thoughts before him. Father God, at this time of preparation for a general election, we pray for those in leadership and for those with aspirations of leadership, not just in this nation, but around the world. May they bless the life and peace of the nations that they serve, our common life here, and especially the lives of the poor and the marginalized, wherever they may be. We pray that the oppressed might be released from that oppression, particularly in the war zones of this world, that the hungry might be fed, body, mind, and spirit, that the thirsty will be satisfied, and that you'll hear the cry of those who call out to you for justice. And in that connection, Lord, we ask particularly for your blessing upon children everywhere who have lost parents at a young age, especially those at Kuna Temeni who have seen parents murdered in massacres. Lord, heal them of their trauma. Help them to find a niche for themselves in a world which at times can be very unsympathetic. We pray for those known to us who are ill at present and in need of our prayers. As we call them to mind, we ask not only for their healing, but also for peace and comfort. And not just for them, but also for those close to them and those who care for them. We bring before you, Lord, those people that we meet each day, perhaps at work, maybe in the street, online or in person, at home or on the phone, perhaps even in our own families, or that we call upon regularly, who simply don't believe in you. We ask, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you might draw them close to you. And so we pray for our churches in the West Fife villages as we continue to explore ways of working together, as we try to reach out to those very unbelievers in ways which might be less alien to them. Bless the endeavors of our churches and of our mission team, mission together, as they attempt to do this. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray that you'll help us grow in our faith, that you will renew our hope, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will open further our hearts to the deepness of your great love for us. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.
Just before we sing our final hymn, thank you to everybody who's taken part today. It's been a great pleasure be part of this worship, and there are some rules to be obeyed. Now somebody's going to come out and tell us about the rules at the end of the service. Oh, it's Rosemary. Do you want to come down and tell us? Sorry? Oh, there's a slide after the hymn. Right, okay. I'm not obeying the rules. But when we come to the rules, you will realise that these have to be followed to the letter. And Rosemary is one of our joint session clerks, so you know they have to be obeyed to the... Sorry, Rosemary. Let's sing. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 561, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Thank you.
could let you sit down just before we have the blessing, and Rosemary will tell you what we're doing, and then we'll have a blessing.
A session clerk, I bring a little guidance, no rules. It's just to say it's lovely to have so many people in church this morning. We'd love everybody to stay for refreshments if you can, but to keep the flow of everybody moving steadily, can we ask everybody at the end of the service to leave by our east door, so out that way, and if you're staying for tea and coffee, can you make your way back across the car park to the main door and come back in there? And if you keep left, go up the two steps into our Irene Patterson room, and we'll be served tea and coffee up there. So if you bear left, tea's on the left, coffee straight ahead, and milk and sugar follows on round and back down the two steps for cakes. Now, if you're more comfortable to remain seated in the church, then please do, and Marion and Alison will come with the tea trolley. So if you're more comfortable to sit still, please do. But so that's it, just a little guidance. Thank you.
I suppose we could say that, you know, these are the exits and the trolley, you know. However, if when you've come round, if you feel you need a breath of fresh air, it would also be okay to take a step outside the door and enjoy the outside. I think that would be okay, wouldn't it? I'm not breaking the rules, am I, Rosemary? Yeah. You can see I live in fear. Anyway, it's been great to be in worship. Would you like to stand and we'll say the grace? And we allow people to keep their eyes open when they say the grace. You can even look at your neighbour, you can even look at strangers and ask God's blessing on them. So let's say the words of the grace together. If you know them, if you don't know them, it doesn't matter, just listen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,